Hey everyone, this is Mary DeMuth and this is Pray Every Day, where I pray through the Bible verse by verse. So excited to be with you here on the 10th day of March. And we are making our way through the book of Hebrews, I can't say that right, in the Voice translation, and this is what it says. In the book of Genesis, we read about when Melchizedek, the king of Salem and priest of the Most High God, met Abraham as he returned from defeating King Chedorlaomer and his allies. Melchizedek blessed our ancestor, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything captured in battle. Let's look more closely at Melchizedek. First, his name means King of Righteousness, and his title, King of Salem, means King of Peace. The scriptures don't name his mother or father or descendants, and they don't record his birth or his death. We could say he's like the Son of God, eternal, a priest forever. And just imagine how great this man was, even our great and honorable patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the spoils. Compare him to the priests who serve in our temple, the descendants of Levi, who were given a commandment in the law of Moses to collect one-tenth of the income of the tribes of Israel. The priests took that tithe from their own people, even though they were also descended from Abraham. But this man, Melchizedek, who did not belong to that Levite ancestry, collected a tenth part of Abraham's income. And although Abraham had received the promises, it was Melchizedek who blessed Abraham. Now, I don't have to tell you that it is the lesser one who receives a blessing from the greater. In the case of the priest descended from Levi, they are mortal men who receive a tithe of one-tenth, but the scriptures record no death of Melchizedek, the one who received Abraham's tithe. I guess you could even say that Levi, who receives our tithes, originally paid tithes through Abraham because he was still unborn and only a part of his ancestor when Abraham met Melchizedek. If a perfect method of reconciling with God, a perfect priesthood, had been found in the sons of Levi, a priesthood that communicated God's law to the people, then why would the scripture speak of another priest, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, instead of, say, from the order of Aaron? What would be the need for it? It would reflect a new way of relating to God, because when there is a change in the priesthood, there must be a corresponding change in the law as well. We're talking about someone who comes from another tribe from which no member has ever served at God's altar. It is clear that Jesus, our Lord, descended from the tribe of Judah, but Moses never spoke about priests from that tribe. Doesn't that seem obvious? Jesus is a priest who resembles Melchizedek in so many ways. He is someone who has become a priest, not because of some requirement about human lineage, but because of the power of a life without end. Remember, the psalmist says, "You are a priest forever," in the honored order of Melchizedek. Because the earlier commandment was weak and did not reconcile us to God effectively, it was set aside. After all, the law could not make anyone or anything perfect. God has now introduced a new and better hope through which we may draw near to Him, and confirmed it by swearing to it. The Levite order of priests took office without an oath, but this man Jesus became a priest through God's oath. The Eternal One has sworn an oath and cannot change his mind. You are a priest forever. So we can see that Jesus has become the guarantee of a new and better covenant. Further, the prior priesthood of the sons of Levi had included many priests because death cut short their service. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he lives his resurrected life forever. From such a vantage, he is able to save those who approach God through him for all time, because he will forever live to be their advocate in the presence of God. It is only fitting that we should have a high priest who is devoted to God, blameless, pure, compassionate toward, but separate from sinners, and exalted by God to the highest place of honor. Unlike other high priests, he does not first need to make atonement every day for his own sins, and only then for his people's, because he already made atonement, reconciling us with God once and forever, when he offered himself as a sacrifice. The law made imperfect men high priests, but after that the law was given, God swore an oath that made his perfected son a high priest for all time. Mind if I pray for you? Lord, we thank you so much that you are a high priest forever, that you don't have to make a sacrifice for your sins because you were sinless, and you are sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us right now, and I'm so thankful for that. I thank you that you are blameless and pure, and you're compassionate toward us, and you are exalted by God to the highest place of honor, that someday, as I've prayed this many times before, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so I'm so thankful for that right now, just thankful to have an advocate. And Lord, I pray for the person today who just feels like they cannot approach you because their sin is weighing heavy upon them, or they have unconfessed sin that is secret and is eating them up inside. But Lord, I pray that today would be the day of just being honest with you, of confessing our sins to you, to let you know what we're walking through, and then even extended bravery, that we would be willing to share our sins and our struggles with someone else so that we could experience the freedom that comes when we let it out into the light. So Lord, I thank you so much ahead of time for the freedom that you're going to bring to the listener who's listening today, whose heart is pounding right now and who feels like they can't do it, but you are the strength of their life. You can give them the strength because they so long to be right with you. You will strengthen them to have the bravery to tell the truth about themselves and their struggles. And Lord, I pray that you place people in their lives who would gladly bear their burden and gladly hear their story and gladly pray for them and embrace them instead of shun them. Lord, thank you that we have an advocate in you and that we you're not standing far aloof from us, but that you are very near. And as we repent and we come to you, you welcome us just like the father and the prodigal son's story. You stand on tiptoes. You wait at the end of the lane looking for us, and when we return, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but we get a robe, we get a ring, we get a fatted calf, and a celebration. And so, Lord, I pray for those who are far from you, that today you would bring them near. I pray all of this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to Pray Every Day. Hey, if you're listening from somewhere else around the world other than the United States of America, then I would love to hear from you and hear how the podcast has affected you. You can email me at mary@marydemuth.com. And I pray that today is a day you know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you.